Blog Talk Radio.
Professor Applewhite, and it is a great morning. I am so proud and happy to be here to talk to you this morning. We have a great show planned. We expect that we'll have many, many listeners to come on live, and if not, make sure that you plug into our chat line and talk to us there. Feel free to type in a message to me, and I'll make sure that it's heard on live radio. Gosh, this is part 4 of 4 of a very, very important segment. Yes, this is a very important segment. You know what we're talking about? For the last 4 weeks, we have been talking about managing school and work. Managing school and work in spite of the issues of illness, disability, and death. Those are heavy subjects, all three of them. And I tell you, it's not easy to say to someone, don't take a lot of time off because someone in your family has passed away. It's not a very easy thing to say. So what we hope is that people will take our message of how to manage school and work with illness, disability, and death with some balance. To set your goals with balance. To make sure that your spirit, within your spirit, that you feel a sense of responsibility, not only to your family members who may be ill or unfortunately may have passed on or become disabled, or you yourself have fallen into illness or disability issues. And find yourself up against a wall about how to manage school and work. Many students and teachers feel they're unable to give any more of themselves after dealing with a major crisis that affects their mental and physical self or those close to them. What makes the difference in the person who achieves their goals and a person who feels it is hopeless, truly hopeless to try? What makes that difference? This is the show that will make you cry with the joy as some of White Apple Institute staff join us and the students celebrate the human spirit within. I have some stories to share with you today about people who have made it through. And they're still making it through. You know, there's not this time frame that you go through so many things and then all of a sudden it's over and life is going to be much better and you're not going to have any problems anymore. There's always going to be the ride on the roller coaster. And that goes for those of us who suffer through the most horrific illnesses that cause tremendous pain and suffering, to those who may not experience the extreme parts of suffering, but deal with looking at family members and the empathy that has to be put out when you're dealing with a death in the family. And you have to be there to console people. How do you do it all? How do you do it and still keep going? How do you attend a funeral of someone that you love dearly? It could be a parent, brother, sister, grandparent, or in some instances it may even be your own child. Wow. Does that hurt? And you have the type of job where you've got to be back at work. I mean, any job requires you've got to get back there. I mean, basically the show must go on. But how do you do that and still keep your human spirit going inside? What kind of person is able to get through that? That doesn't turn to the drugs, to abuse them, the alcohol abuse, to go on and drop out of school, drop out of life. There are many that do. And our heart goes out to you if you've been in that situation, and maybe you're listening to this show today because you want to get back up on the horse again. You want to get it together again. Well, I had to do that. Applause. Applause to you if you're out there listening. And you're saying to yourself, yeah, I'm listening to this show today because I saw something about dealing with school and work and illness and death, and I just lost somebody close to me, and I'm dealing with some things myself, and I don't want to quit my job. Or maybe you've already quit your job and you're thinking, I got to get back to work. I got to get back to school so that I can finish completing my goals. Well, again, I applaud you. Whether you heard about this show from someone else, whether someone told you, listen to this show and see if you get some encouragement from hearing about some of the stories that are going on. Because there's a lot of them. Last week, we left off with talking a lot about illness and disability. And we talked about how people with non-visible disabilities are able to overcome the fact that people might look at you and not know that you're dealing with some things because you don't look it. You don't look disabled, whatever that's supposed to look like. You know, unfortunately, people think that, and we use the symbol of people that are disabled or in a wheelchair, and that's really not the majority of people. Believe it or not, it's not. The majority of people with disabilities are those that have disabilities you cannot see. That's right. They deal with mental health issues. You can't see that. You don't wear a sign. And people do not, this is something that is not common, that people do not walk around blinking their eyes and shrugging their shoulders and shaking their head and talking to themselves. It's very rare that you see that, even if they have a severe mental illness. Usually people are very quiet, and you can't tell. You can't tell when they're hurting. I remember once we had a young man on the show who was talking about his wife and how much she was hurting inside to because of her paranoid schizophrenic disorder, and how he had hoped that someone besides himself had said something kind to her, and that that might have made the difference in her dropping out of school and quitting work and eventually committing suicide. You never know what we can do or say to someone that'll make a tremendous change in their life. Think about a time when someone might have said something for you or said something to you, or maybe you were watching a television show or listening to a radio show like you're doing now, and something just clicks inside of you and it says, wow, this could be you. This could be you. Let us encourage you. And some kind of click happens inside of you, and you say, wow, that I'm interested. I mean, that's what advertisement is all about, isn't it? Is they find this something that you're vulnerable to or something that you might like, and all of a sudden you're calling a number or you're writing in for information or going on the internet. Well, that's the same type of reaction we hope to have for people who are listening to this show or hear about this show and some of the topics that we bring out. That we want people to understand, number one, and let me just, I can't reiterate this enough. That the dis in disability is about dissing your abilities. So you're not, don't diss your abilities. You have abilities to do all kinds of things. There's really not too much you can't do in this life. You just have to find alternatives, ways to accomplish your goals. And sometimes you might not know them. You might have to ask someone else, how do I do this? You might have to ask for advice. And there's nothing wrong with that. Just be sure that you find yourself in a situation where you're ready, truly ready to make change happen. And it might be just, when you talk about change happening, it might just be a change of saying, I just want to listen. Not necessarily that you want to roll up your sleeves and go step into a college and register or go down, Monday morning and apply for a job. It might not be that big of a change in your life. But even the smallest change of saying, I want to think about this some more. I don't want to touch this bottle of alcohol or take this prescribed or non-prescribed drug to change my consciousness so I don't think about this anymore. I really want to go forward in this life. I'm tired of sitting down and not managing my goals to go to school and my goals to go to work. So I encourage you to really look at all the possibilities. Open up your mind and your heart and see a way. See your way to just make a call. Call us. Call us. Contact us at White Apple Institute. Say, Professor Applewhite, I need some help. And if I can't help you directly, we'll find a staff member who'll be able to do that. And it doesn't matter where you live, because we're a global-wide radio station and counseling system, rehabilitation counseling that helps people get back to work and school. Well, as we're coming to a close on this particular segment, I wanted to speak about death and dying. And it's, I have to give most credit, a lot of credit, to David and Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, David Kessler and Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, for working on the five stages of grief. And I found myself applying this in many, many ways. I applied these five stages of grief to different aspects of our lives. With just, when you think about everything that's going on now with the Michael Jackson trial, you can apply some of the things that I'm going to talk about to what's happening with his family and the five stages of grief that his fans are going through. So there's a lot of ways that you can relate this. How I'd like you to relate it this morning with me is by thinking about your desire to go to work, your desire to go to school. And that's important because it's important to you. And that's the only reason why it's important. So let's talk about these stages and how these stages of grief have played a large part in how we look at life and completing our goals for work and school. It's been going on for definitely two decades. I've been very, very aware of this work. These five stages of grief are responses to loss that many people have, but there's no typical response to loss, just like there's no typical loss, as Elizabeth Kubler-Ross has brought out and David Kessler. Our grief is as individual as our lives. That's one of the things that they say. Our grief is as individual as our lives. And so therefore, we can't expect that what we're going to talk about today is necessarily going to be reflective of what everyone thinks about or feels when they are dealing with death in the family. We have to understand something. And this goes for our veterans too. Death doesn't necessarily mean that we're talking about the death of a person sometimes. Sometimes it's the death of an idea, a death of a goal. And with that death of a goal comes the factor that we may we may be saying to ourselves in many ways, gosh, I have lost so much in my life that I don't think I can get the motivation going again to even think about going back to school and work. How do you do that? Other people are just stronger than I am. Sometimes that kind of conversation happens within yourself. Other people are stronger than you? No. We're all children of God. Don't ever forget that. We're all children of God. We're born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It is not just in some of us. It is in everyone, everyone. And as you today let your light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. So now what does that mean? This is from Nelson Mandela's speech written by Marianne Williamson. What do you mean when I let my light shine, other people, you know, are able to shine their light? You know, my light is so little. But I can promise you that that little light that you have can still light up a room and light the way for not only yourself, but for other people that might be in your family, that might be looking for you to say, let's not let the death in this family, the death of the dream, make us give up our goals. Recently, a friend of mine had a fire in her home. And with that fire came the idea that her life was over. She said, my life is over. I've lost everything because I have lost my home. And I thought about this association with death and this challenge to get our lives back together again when we've lost material things also, because that's a death in itself. Any type of loss, that's what we're talking about today. We have a caller online. I'll just say good morning and see if there's something that they would like to add to this final segment of managing school and work with illness, death, and disability. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite.
Good morning, Professor Applewhite.
Good morning, Dr. Beverly Holnitz.
How are you this morning?
Oh, wonderful. Thank you for calling in. It's one of our board members, listeners, and it's always a pleasure that she takes out the time to join us. And anything that she can say, believe me, this is a very, very wonderful, knowledgeable person about business networking. Her PhD is in the field of education and business, with a minor in business. Is that right? Did I say that right?
You said it perfectly right.
All right. And so she is quite, if you're interested in self-employment, any type of networking interest that you have, this is the person to talk to, Dr. Beverly Polnitz. You can reach her at White Apple Institute. Simply call in at 480-471-8082. And Beverly, did you want to give your number if someone is interested in learning how to network, or would you just have them contact you through the Institute?
Absolutely. My number is open to anyone who would like to contact me and learn more about, you know, starting their own business or propelling their own business forward. I do one-on-one coaching. And
mm-hmm.
You can reach me at 602-418-6000. And
mm-hmm.
I'd be happy to take calls from anyone who's interested. And, you know, there's a free consult that goes along with that. So don't hesitate to call and ask some questions. I enjoy helping those who are trying to move forward with their lives and do things for themselves and for others, which kind of gets back to shining your light and having your light to help, you know, light the path of others. Because when you shine your own light, when think about it, when you shine any light, whoever is in your presence is also going to benefit from that light. It doesn't just light you. It lights all around you.
Yes.
You can see theoretically with a physical light, lamp light, that happens. The whole room lights up. Well, when you light your light in your own body, your own energy, it lights the whole environment around you.
That's right.
And so shine your light. Help others to see their way also, because the more light that starts shining, the brighter our life, our future, and our world will be.
You know, Dr. Polnitz, one of the things that I'd like you to consider, if you're able to stay on our show a little bit longer this morning, is I'd like to come back to you after I finish just overviewing the five stages of grief, and because I'm trying to relate that to the fact that when we lose things in this life, which is a death in a sense, okay? I hope you agree with that, that any loss is just the same, whether it's material, like I was talking about a friend of mine who her house burned down, or someone who's lost a child or a family member. Loss is loss. And these five stages of grief that I'm going to go through relate to how to get back together again so that you can get back to your goals. And one of the things that I'd like to address with you is that many people think that when you own your own business that you don't have the same responsibility that others have about getting back to work. You know, I mean, it's the same importance, even more important, that you get back to your business, because that is your livelihood too. And other people may be depending on you or whatever. So I'd just like you to think about that in the background of what I'm going to say right now. Would you do that for us?
I certainly would be happy to.
Okay. The stages of grief, the five stages are, and some of our listeners do start writing things down, so I'll go as slow as I can, but know that you can always go back and listen to this show again, listeners, my dear friends out there. So if you do miss one of these, don't fret about it. You can go back in and listen listen to the show and get more information on this by contacting me directly at White Apple Institute. The five stages are denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. Denial is the first stage of grieving. And one of the things that I remember about Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, when she was putting this stuff together, and I started teaching this about 20 years ago, is that that just because she says the first stage doesn't mean that that's where everybody starts. I had mentioned earlier that our grief about any type of situation is as individual as our own lives, okay? So just because she's saying the first stage doesn't mean that means that everybody's going to go through denial as the first stage. It just means that in this stage, the world, and I'm going to basically paraphrase how she puts it, the world becomes meaningless and overwhelming. Life makes no sense. We're in a state of shock and denial. We actually go numb when we are in a state of denial of, that person or that thing in my life is not gone. It can't be gone. I still have it. It's still here. Denial and shock help us to cope and make survival possible. Denial helps us to pace our feelings of grief. There is some type of grace in denial. These stages of grief that we're talking about are just really kind of like nature's way or God's way, however you want to put it, of letting in on only as much as we can handle. You know, and you've heard people that are in various religions will say God will only give you what you can handle, okay? So as you begin to accept the reality of the loss, you start to ask yourself questions, okay? And as you begin the healing process, and if you allow yourself, this denial is going to begin to fade. And it doesn't fade and go away totally, because it may come back. You might get to the fifth stage of grief, and denial comes back up again at on a different level. So let's keep in mind that denial is not going to go away, but it begins to fade out as anger starts to come in now. And this is a necessary stage of healing, of the healing process, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross notes. And she says, be willing to feel your anger, okay? Even though it may seem endless, that the more you start feeling this emotion, you begin to start managing it. Anger has no limits. It can extend not only to your friends, to the doctors that may have taken care of your family member that has passed on, okay, to the child that you may have lost. And I keep going back to that. I don't want to mention this person right now, and I'm hoping that she's listening, but she's just had a tremendous loss of her child. And even though her child was 40-something years old, it was still her child. And no parent has, no parent can be excused from that type of, the type of denial and anger that she's going through right now, especially about the doctors. And one of the things that she's saying is where is God in this? You know, that my son had to suffer so much. And know that underneath all of that anger is her pain, is your pain. And it's natural to feel like a sense of abandonment, because we live in a society, remember, that fears anger. When we see anger, okay, we start feeling like we need to get away from it, because we have some explosive situations that happen with anger, don't we, Dr. Bolness? Okay? I mean, even in the workplace, people shooting up, you know, you turn on the news every day and there's somebody angry that's shooting somebody in a restaurant or whatever. So we have to be real careful of this anger thing, and we become afraid of it. And we think that someone's going to be angry towards us, and we start blocking them from us. And, you know, I can't even say, there would have been a time, I'd say 10 years ago even, that I would have said, if somebody's angry, try to put your arm around them or try to talk to them. But now it's like, well, gosh, I understand you moving away from them, because you just don't know what's going to happen. And, you know, it's even worse when people suppress the anger than they allow themselves to feel it. They suppress the anger. And so, but just remember that anger is just another indication. It's just another way of showing how intense your love was for this, the individual that you've lost, or the thing that you've lost. Okay? So whatever it is that you've lost in your life, and it could have just been, it could have been a job. There's grief in that too. I mean, especially if you worked hard for a job, and you get into the job and you're 5 years into your job, as many people that we've heard about throughout the United States, and all of a sudden you lose your job, they begin to downsize. And my goodness, you were on this great career path, and now you're in this unemployment thing where, you know, you've been 6 months out of work, and you're losing the house that you bought and the car, and your family's going haywire. That's another reason for feeling a sense of grief and of giving up. But I encourage you, there are different ways to keep yourself busy. Keep yourself busy if you are unemployed. And we'll have a show that's going to deal with that in the very near future, the unemployment crisis and how it affects those that are going to school and work. The next stage as we deal with this anger is bargaining. Now, what does bargaining mean? You know, people hear that term and immediately their brains go to bargaining. What are you going to the store and you're bargaining? Well, it's almost in the same concept, listeners. My friends, we're talking about people bargaining with God, basically. You know, you bargain, I'll never be angry at my son again if you just bring him back. You know, I'll never be angry at my mom or my, you know, or anybody in my family if I could just have one more look at him. There's a great song Luther Vandross sings, okay, about dancing with my father again. You know that song, Dr. Bonitz? If I could only dance with my father again, by Luther Vandross. It's a great song, okay? Yeah, we become lost in a maze of if only, what if this happened, what if I do this? And Elizabeth Kubler-Ross says that the if-onlys cause us to find fault in ourselves and what we think we could have done differently. We're bargaining with the pain. We will do anything not to feel the pain of loss. We don't like loss. It feels bad. And we want to remain in the past trying to negotiate our way out of the hurt. But they forget, or we forget, that the stages of this grief that I'm talking about this morning are responses to feelings that can last for minutes, hours. You can flip in and out of bargaining for years, thinking about what if I had done that, then maybe she or he would still be here. Okay? And boy, does that cause some tremendous guilt coming through. Especially being that, you know, I've been one of those people that when I go to bed at night, I don't like to go to bed angry. And there's some biblical scripture on that, about not letting the sun go down when you're angry. And I truly believe that I live by that, that I don't want anyone to go to bed being angry with me or me being angry with them. Because you never know if you'll see each other the next day. Well, let's move on from bargaining. We get to depression. And this is a, oh boy, when you talk about depression and how it can impact your goals and how you address work and school and just the hopelessness that you feel. Why go on at all? Depression after a loss is too often seen as unnatural, a state to be fixed. Well, you can't snap out of it just that quickly. It's just no snapping out of it, because you have to go through it. You have to allow your body to empty these feelings. And this grief starts to enter our lives on a deeper level, deeper than what we could ever have imagined. And it feels like it's going to last forever for many of us. And sometimes it becomes a sign of mental illness. That mental illness might have already been there. You might already have been diagnosed, as one young lady last week said on the show. She was diagnosed with manic depression, a manic depressive disorder, which prevented her from going to school and work. Well, I'm sure if she was on the show today, she'd tell you that at different times of her life, when things happen, the manic depression kicks in and becomes even worse than what it would be if she did not have this so-called, and I'll quote, put quotation marks around it, disability, okay? Be careful with that word, because we don't want to take our abilities and diss them, okay? So we appreciate the word and the category, because we have to have categories in order to manage the how insurance monies are paid and doctors are paid or whatever. But we want to be careful not to live by a label of depression, okay? We want to know that this depression that we're feeling about loss, it does eventually settle down, okay? The realization that your loved one that you lost didn't get better this time and is not coming back is understandably depressing. But grief is a process of healing. And if it's a process of healing, then depression is one of the many necessary steps along the way, my friends. Necessary steps along the way. Now, we come to the next step, which is acceptance. And that's our final step here. Acceptance is often confused with the notion of being all right or okay with what has happened. And I've seen a lot of people, many of my friends that are that do not take death of a family member they don't show this depression or outward sadness like other people. You know, they don't go around crying about it. They might not even get angry about it. And we say, well, what's wrong with that individual? They're not showing their grief. Well, everybody grieves differently. And I know you agree with that, listeners out there. Everybody grieves differently. And so acceptance might indeed be your first stage of dealing with loss in your life. And we find those people who are willing to get back to work and school almost immediately to tuck it under. It's a form of denial. Okay, just to tuck it in and as the new expression out there is man up to it, okay, or woman up to it. We learn to live with the death that happens in our lives. It's just the new way we have to be now, especially with the pressure of jobs only giving you so much time off in order to get back to work and school. I mean, you just only have so many days, and if you've had a series of deaths or losses in your family, and a series of illnesses that you've had to address with either yourself or a child that's been sick, you're only going to have so many days off that you can deal with that. And then you've got to roll up your sleeves and get back to work or get back to your classes or both. Remember, we can never replace what has been lost. It's lost, it's lost. When it's truly lost, it's gone. But we can try, as David Kessler says, to make new connections, new meaningful relationships. Instead of denying our feelings, we start listening to our needs, my friends. We move, we change, we grow, we evolve. We may even start to reach out to others and become involved in their lives and help them. That's what we're doing here. I'm here to tell you, Professor Applewhite has had tremendous losses too. And one of the things that helps me is getting involved in your life by coming across these internet radio waves and talking to you every Saturday. It helps me to begin to live again after going through a tremendous recovery period from a car accident. And we can't do this, my friends, until we give ourselves time to grieve. And I had to learn that the hard way. I had to grieve the losses. So grieve the losses and go through these five stages. And if you have to go through them several times, go through them, but that doesn't mean that you have to stay at home away from school and work to do that. You can still go back and finish your goals. You might not do it the same way because, again, as we quoted a moment ago, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross says, hey, new relationships, a new way of looking at things. That might be your way of having to stand up and accept the grief. So again, those five stages of grief are denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. And I hope I've done a pretty fair job of presenting them to you. What do you think, Dr. Polnitz?
I think you've done an excellent job presenting them. I was taking notes myself because it was back in February, I lost someone extremely dear to me, my mother.
Yes.
And as you talked about the steps, I was remembering how I went through all of these steps. And some of them I encountered at the same time.
Mm.
So they weren't just distinguished like I'm going through denial or I'm going through bargaining. I would be in denial and angry and bargaining all at the same time.
Uh-huh.
And depressed.
Yes.
And I've been able to work through it. I've had some help of with some natural products, essential oils and natural products. And in fact, that's how I'm in the health and wellness industry. And a good friend of mine shared something with me that I can tell you about, you know, at another time.
Mm-hmm.
That really, within a day, I started coming out of the depression. And
oh,
I was so thankful.
If you feel comfortable, if you'd like to talk about it now on the show, it's okay.
Oh, I feel very comfortable with it.
Okay.
The product is called Hemphoria, and it's from the cannabis plant, but it's not the one that has, you know, the illegal aspects to it.
Oh, okay.
And it's the... I guess it's the brother or sister of the illegal one. But it has a lot of nutrients. And, in fact, Dr. Oz talked about the hemp seed on one of his shows and how nutritious it is. And it has the ability to help to lift depression and just help you physically and mentally to be in a okay state. Okay? And a friend of mine gave me some of that. And I tried it. And the next day, like I said, the depression started lifting. And since then, I got involved with some essential oils that you just you smell or you have just burning in your house. And the aromatherapy,
uh-huh.
the aroma of these specific oils also helped to keep a balance in my life now as I go through these stages, because I still go through them.
Yes, yes.
It's not like, well, you hit stage five and boom, that's it, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, you're done.
That's right.
It's something, when you lose something very, very close and dear to you, every day I think of my mom, every single day. But I'm becoming more and more able to look around and say, you know, you're not the only person on the planet who's had a loss.
Right.
I kind of woman up, come on, just woman up and let's get on with life, you know. And I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say I'm certainly going to follow up with you on that hemp seed oil, and I hope that maybe it will address some pain issues, too, for some of our listeners. Certainly for myself, I'd be very, very willing to look at that. So thank
okay.
you for sharing that with us.
Uh-huh. One other thing I'd like to add is the aspect of work. And going through a loss
mm-hmm.
is that I think, you know, sometimes you think it's unfair that the employer needs to have you come back after a certain amount of days. They need you, okay? That's one part of it. The other part of it is that if you sit alone and you get deeper and deeper into that, having access to other people and having access to different things that's going on in the world will help you to come back into the world, okay,
mm-hmm.
for lack of a better way to say it. I found that because I am self-employed, I did not have a place to go to specifically where there was a lot of people around me, and so I started creating venues to put myself in so that I could have some distraction and to help me to heal. And so I think that if you can get back, if physically, if you can go to work and your employer understands that, you know, every now and then you might space out a little bit because, you know, these things are still happening in your life.
Right.
That it's going to be better for you. You're going to recover much more quickly.
So you're suggesting that people don't take a lot of time off and don't quit because of death or loss in the family.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Now, I'm going to come back to you in a minute about that self-employment issue, and we have another caller online. I do want to acknowledge her. Hello, good morning. I believe she's calling from Los Angeles, 213. Good morning, this is Professor Applewhite. Okay.
Hi, Dr. Applewhite.
Oh, here you are.
Hi. Hi, I just want to let you know, I was listening to part of your show, and I was just... I don't have anything to say at this moment, but I'm just letting you know, I think your show is wonderful, okay?
Thank you very much. And I hope you're getting something from the show about dealing with death issues. I know you were on the show last week or week before. I believe you had mentioned a friend of yours who had passed away.
Yes.
And I hope that this is helping you. If you haven't heard what I went through five stages of grief. I don't know when you came on the show. But please feel free to go on the computer and listen to the show again, because I think that may help you to get through the grieving process for the loss.
Right, because I have other friends, and they're kind of going through a bad stage right now.
Yes.
With the grieving process.
Right.
Of losing our friend. It's to the point where they're talking suicidal terms, and I really would recommend that they call, I mean, listen to the show.
Oh,
I'm going to give them a call.
Thank you.
Because right now they're at the graveside every weekend. And like, you know, the person, it's like a shrine. Like, she's still here.
Wow. That's what they call the stage of denial, where it's very hard for them to let go. Okay? And
right,
sometimes...
It's to the point where her Facebook is still, like, functioning.
Ah.
You know, they're talking and communicating like she's still here.
Right, right. Yeah. And that's natural. Like I talked about with the stages of grief, it's natural for us to go through that, and we go through it over and over and over again. Like Dr. Polnis was just bringing out, you know, she lost her mom, and she went through the stages of grief almost simultaneously, two or three of them at the same time. Right, Dr. Polnis?
That's correct.
Yeah. So when you go through them, I mean, there's no way of getting around it. I think that this show, I have a funny feeling that people are going to start writing in and saying they want to hear more on this show, more on how to deal with this particular subject. Because a lot of people do lose their jobs behind losing someone in their family or, you know, a death in the family or illness of a family member. And their whole lives become destroyed, or at least they perceive that their lives are destroyed because of the losses that they feel. So we certainly appreciate you coming on board and saying what you did say, and I hope that you could send the show as a link to someone else. But before we leave here, we've got less than 6 minutes, and I want Dr. Polnis to elaborate a little bit more on the fact that we know we have to return to work when we have the employer's pressure on us to return to work. You're going to lose your job if you don't come back here. You're going to be dropped from our course, from your college course. You're going to get a withdrawal or an F if you don't get back here and get this work turned in. Okay? So we've got that pressure coming in. Now, when you're self-employed, you have your own business. Whether you have employees or you don't have employees, but certainly when you have employees, you've got pressure there that you're in a leadership position. I mean, this is your company, okay? And you have to be there. So, I mean, you can say all day long, and I'm sure the employees that work for you might say, well, you know, she just lost her husband or child or mother or whatever. And after a while... okay, now we know that you had the loss, but we got to get back going again because, especially if they're depending on your leadership for their paycheck, okay?
Right.
Okay. So, I mean, do you see a lot of people that just drop out from your network marketing businesses because of these things happening in their life because of death, illness, and disability, Dr. Polnis?
I do not see a lot of that happening. If I'm close enough to the person in my business and my conversations with them are always encouraging and working with them to keep them engaged. One thing about we have to remember is that everybody is human, okay? Everybody goes through different things. And if we connect with each other on a humanistic level, it's going to get more responses from them. And those of us who suffer through, and all of us do, the loss of something or someone, you have got to keep in mind that if you don't persevere and move forward, then that person that you lost, you're just letting them down. You cannot give up your life because someone goes into the invisible realm, is what I call it, the invisible realm. We know we all have to go there. And why would we let that person down whom we love so much to lose what we have here that's keeping us going and helping us to produce and have a happy life for ourselves, our family, and our children, because they're gone.
Wow.
They're gone. They're just in the invisible world. They can see what you're doing. They know. They love you. They haven't left you. You just can't see them with your physical eye.
Okay.
But keep doing. Keep moving forward. That's what this is about. And know when your time comes, you're going to be reunited with them.
Wow, that is tremendous.
I would love anyone who wants to talk with me. I'd be more than happy. My phone number is 602-418-6000. I've recently gone through this, and I was kind of leery about getting on the show this morning because when I talk about it, I feel it all over my body still.
Yes,
very hard, very close to me right now, and I didn't think I'd be able to do it. So thank you, Dr. Applewhite, for having this show and for me being able to get on and perhaps help somebody else.
Yes, I'm sure you did, not only with our live listener on, but we have our chat of people that have come on to the chat and just said thank you. And I don't know if they've lost anyone. Maybe they're having difficulty just even talking about their loss. But to know that they're listening is is great, okay? And I encourage you, all of you out there, and I can't say enough how much I appreciate the fact that there's so many thousands of listeners that come in and out of listening to this show, and hopefully you gain something from it. I certainly gain from seeing the numbers and hearing your comments. We have 60 seconds left, and I just want to thank you so much for joining us this week on the Student to Teacher radio show by Internet. We thank White Apple Institute for the sponsorship. We thank our veterans out there, especially those who have come back with disabilities, for being part of our show. God bless you. Much love and peace to you as we close with Nazim Rashid's beautiful music from River Nile Remembrance album on Amazon. Thank you. See you next week, Saturday morning. Follow us right now and be connected on blogtalkradio.com.